everybody on both sides of the aisle, they want your vote, okay? And they continually want to say to you, look at the great things I did, correct? Look what I did. Look what I did. Most of it is lies, okay? But, and I'm talking on both sides of the aisles. Look what I did. This morning, I want to concentrate and look at what God did. If I can speak out of turn here a little bit, I've been blessed to know several great doctors. We have one here today, but over the years, we've known a doctor by the name Martin Rees and some other doctors who are really good at what they do. And the good doctors will tell you that although God has gifted them, it's really God that does the work. Isn't that true? It's really God that does the work. Let us never get cocky in here and say, look what we did. Let us always say, look what God did. Because if God is not in this, we might as well just leave right now. Because it won't go anywhere at all. So God is in this. And I titled this morning, Know That Crossbridge Is God's Work. This work, I hope and I believe, will continue whether I'm here or not. Okay? I'm praying that this work will continue as leadership changes down the road and as God puts in people that he wants to put in and we give direction. How many of you, this is a tough question. How many of you have been resolved in your spirit, I mean really resolved in your spirit, that change is a part of life? It's a little tough of a question. We don't like change, right? We like stuff the way it is. And listen, the good thing about this is God doesn't change. Isn't that true? In his character, he doesn't change. But sometimes things need to change in order to do what God wants us to do. And there's nothing wrong with change as long as it's within the will of God and in the character of God. And so God is the constant here, not me. I could wake up grumpy tomorrow, right? Or I can wake up dead. I mean, you know, it's as simple as that. Wake up dead. Yeah, you're still not with it this morning, okay? You're still not with it this morning. And in saying that, we have to embrace the fact that God is in this. One of the things I appreciate about our leaders, and it's always been the spirit since the first time we met, is our leaders never want to get ahead of God, and we don't want to lag behind God. We want to discern as best as possible what God wants us to do going forward. And so, my contention this morning is this, that the truth of the matter that Crossbridge is God's work, if we don't, I want to put this as gently as possible. If none of us are ever concerned about who gets the credit, but are only concerned that when we do something and we accomplish something, God gets the credit, then we're going to go places. Amen? And so I want to just take you through a few verses this morning. This is from Philippians. Paul writes this in Philippians 1. Did I forget something? Okay. Paul writes this in Philippians 1. He writes this from jail. He's in jail because of the gospel. He writes this from jail, and the theme of the whole letter is be joyful. Can you imagine? He's in jail, and he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, I want you to be joyful, even though I'm in jail for the cause of the gospel. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but I want you to be joyful. And so he starts out, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Isn't that great? Every day when I come into my office or I'm at home, I thank God for all of you. I really do, because you are the church. It's not the building. It's not the sign. It's not anything else. You are the church. So I thank God for all of you, and I thank God for all of you today. It says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? Joy. And here's why. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. Well, whether you realize it or not, we're partners in the gospel of Christ. Remember I said to you before I didn't want you to get complacent? What I mean by that is this. A lot of times when churches plant and they start to grow and they get off the ground, the mentality develops into we hire a pastor to go and witness. We hire a pastor to minister in the hospital. We hire the pastor to do this and do that. And people tend to stand back. Now, we're all partners in this. Every one of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God gives you at least one gift and probably more. And as you exercise and develop that gift for His glory and for His honor, that means that we are the body of Christ and we are partners in the gospel from the first day we met on Easter until now and forevermore. We have no higher calling as a church than to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and live it. Isn't that true? There's no higher calling. And by the way, when I say that, let me just say to you, there's no better message in this world. None of the candidates have a better message than the gospel. I should get an amen to that. None of the candidates have a better message than the gospel. Muhammad doesn't have a better message than the gospel. Sun Young Moon doesn't have a better message than the gospel. There is no message better. Although the world will have you to believe that they have better messages, correct? They want you to believe that you can spend money you don't have and be happy. They want you to believe that, please, I hope I don't offend anybody here today, but you can drive around, you know, in the latest, greatest Cadillac or whatever, and you deserve it when you can't even pay for it. I mean, there's a lot of bad messages out there, and there's a lot of bad messages hitting our young people in school, on the internet. We know that. We are entrusted by God with the greatest message in the world. It is the message for a terminal disease that we call sin. And the reason why it's terminal is because if a person doesn't receive Christ, and what he did personally on the cross for me and you, then we're going to spend an eternity in hell. That's terminal. Eternity with Christ is paradise. And so we need to pray all the time for one another, don't we? We need to pray every day for one another. Is there anybody here who didn't have struggles this week? In your struggles, do you wish somebody was praying for you? How many of you felt people praying for you this week? I hope so. We're called to pray for one another. Being God is in this, we need to pray for one another. We are partners in the gospel, and we can pray with confidence. Why can we pray with confidence? Well, Paul answers that. He said, being confident in this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. He is not, this applies to individuals, and many times we take this out of context and say, yeah, you know, for those of you who have trusted Christ, God's begun a good work in you, and he'll see it through. Yeah, that's true, but he's talking to the church here, okay? He's saying to the church, listen, God planted you. He may have used me as the church planter, but he planted you. He planted you here for a reason, to be a light in a dark community, to proclaim the message. And I know this, Paul says, and I am confident with this, as we are obedient to the call that God has given us in Christ, and we are obedient in the power of the Holy Spirit under the direction of the Word, and step out in faith in His will, the confidence is that He will bring to completion the work He has started here. That's why I say to you that Crossbridge is God's work. We need to seek His face. We need to stay faithful to what He has called us to do. Part of that is that we also need to have clean hands. We need to confess our sin, don't we? And, you know, people, we're in the habit of doing what I call laundry confessions. We want to just take them all and just throw them in the washer and say, Lord, forgive me all my sins. No. When the Bible talks about confession, it talks about very specific confession. Hey, you know, Lord, I lied this week to get me out of trouble. It was the wrong thing to do. I offended you. It offended the people I know. It hurt me. I'm sorry. Lord, I was lustful this week. Whatever it is, we need to confess those things. Because without clean hands and clean heart, we're hindered in what we can do for God. And so as we realize God is in this and we are accountable to him, we need to come to him periodically in confession, prayer, and repentance. And then Paul says, as we do that, I have confidence that God is going to complete in Crossbridge what he started. Remember, it's a little break from Thessalonians, but one of the things in Thessalonians was that Paul wants everybody to finish well. He wants everybody to finish well. That's my prayer for us, not only individually, but corporately as a church. We want to finish well. We want to be found so that we don't know when the Lord's coming back, correct? But if he comes back tomorrow, we are found faithful in the work that he wants us to do here in this community. We have to live every day as if he's coming back, don't we? I wouldn't mind, to be honest with you. I'm okay with that. I wouldn't have to vote in November. But I'm okay with that. Yeah, it's fine with me too. Listen to what Paul goes on to say. It is right for me to feel this way about you all since I have you in my heart, whether I am in chains, which he was, or defending and confirming the gospel. All of you share in God's grace with me. Do you realize that the moment you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior by faith, the Spirit of God indwells you. That's what the Bible says. And having said that, if you have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. Isn't that true? Shouldn't that change the way we see one another? And shouldn't that change the way we treat one another? Shouldn't that change the way we talk to one another and how we live? As I look at those of you who I know receive Christ as Lord and Savior, you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are family. We are united by the Spirit of God. That means that we're called to love one another with the love of God. Isn't that true? We need to pray for one another. We need to love one another. Look what Paul says here. He says, and this is my prayer, that your love may what? Grow, abound more. More, and this is not an uninformed love. This is not a wishy-washy love, okay? This is a love that's informed by Scripture, by the principles of God, by the character of God. How do I know that? Because it says that your love may abound more and more in what? Knowledge. Not the world's knowledge, the knowledge of the Scriptures, right? And the depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for what? His second coming. If we're going to be living in a way that glorifies God, we need to pray this for each other, that our love would increase, that we would our love would be guided by the principles of Scripture and the Spirit of God himself, and that he would give us discernment and insight to know what is right and what is wrong. I'm going to ask another revealing question. There's nobody here that's sinless. We know that, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. You can answer it or not. When the last time you sinned, did you know it was wrong? Okay? And the reason why you know that it's wrong is because you have the Spirit of God living in you saying this is not right. This violates what God wants us to do. And we need to listen to the Spirit. We need to confess that. And we need to repent of it And somebody said to me one time, well, Pastor, I have a problem in one area, and I keep doing it and confessing, doing it and confessing. He says, how many times do I need to confess this? I said, as many times as you do it. And he says, doesn't God ever get tired of that? I said, no, not really, because you're going to get tired of doing the same thing that you have to confess. And that's one of the ways that God can help break those besetting sins that we have. And my prayer is this, that our love would abound more and more in the knowledge that's set forth in Scripture and the wisdom that God can give us, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for God. Discern what is best. Just because something is legal doesn't make it moral. Just because the culture says it's okay to do something doesn't mean it's moral. Just because politicians say something's okay to do doesn't make it right. You understand, okay? We need discernment. We need to always test it by the Scripture. Our journey is to finish well, but to finish in purity. That means we continue to make progress in our sanctification, our journey of holiness, as we allow the Word and the Spirit in our lives to make us to be more like Christ. And then he says, I want to bring you here, filled with what? What's the word? Is that familiar? Where does the fruit come from? The fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the first? Ooh. And it's not to love those who love you. That's easy. It's to love the unlovable, right? What's next? Joy. Peace. Patience. Anybody here not need peace, patience?
I don't even pray for patience anymore.
Okay. But we be filled with the Spirit of righteousness that comes through who? Jesus Christ. And to whose glory? The glory of God. This only comes from a close walk of communion with God. To be in the Word every day, to speak to God, let God speak to us every day, so that we can be filled with joy. Let me tell you something. I'm sure there are times you know, people rub you the wrong way. I probably have rubbed you the wrong way, one another. There's probably times you felt like smacking me. I'm glad you didn't. But I have to confess, vice versa goes the same way, you know. But that's not the way that we're supposed to love one another, right? We love as God would love us. That doesn't mean we don't confront and correct, but we do it in a loving way. I want you to understand. And I'm trying to be quick because I know you're all hungry, okay? Know that God is in this. Know that. And because God is in this, here's what I want you to realize. We need to pray to the one who gave us birth. He gave us birth, didn't he? Both in our own lives, in our salvation by faith alone through Jesus Christ, and in the life of the church. He's the one who birthed us. He is the one who worked in and through Cy and Angelo and many of you to bring me back to a place to realize my calling is irrevocable. That even though I didn't want to be a pastor anymore, that wasn't God's plan. We need to understand, we need to continue to pray to the one who gave us birth. He gave you physical birth, didn't he? He also gave you spiritual birth. He gave birth to this church. We need to love with a love that's rooted in the knowledge of Jesus and the Scriptures. And we need to have the depth of insight to discern what's best, what is pure, what is right. And that only comes from close communion with God. After that, then we do. You know what I mean by that? Then we go out and we minister. I fear many times that a lot of times when we just do and neglect those other things, We don't minister with the right heart. And what happens is we start to minister for whose glory? Right? Look what I've done. Look at this. Look what I've done. And we get on the right track. We do for the glory of God. In everything we say or do, Paul says, what's he say? Do it for what? The glory of God. In everything. Word or deed. In everything. The Holy Spirit gives us the spiritual gifts through Christ, and the spiritual gifts are meant to glorify God, not ourselves. Not ourselves. I can't underline that more and more. I get very suspicious of somebody who walks around saying, I got the gift of helps, or I got the gift of visitation. Look at me. Look at me. No. You know, the true servants are the ones who do, and nobody ever knows about it. Isn't that true? Only God knows about it. And if somebody does recognize it, you give the glory to God. Because the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for Christ, I don't know where I'd be today. That's the truth of the matter. I was in the music world where drugs flowed freely. I could tell you stories when I played in the most plush places up in North Jersey, when I used to do weddings and banquets and all of that, and how the heroin flowed. And not only the heroin, but the groupies and all of that. I can tell you stories. I wasn't even a believer then, but as I look back, God kept me from that. As insane as I was, God kept me from that. And I can look back and see how God was preparing me. So whoever thought I'd be a pastor? Not me. Yeah. Mary Lou married a businessman. I'm serious. And God has a sense of humor. I had a position where I was doing very well. And then he called me into the pastorate, and I went fighting. I'm going to be honest with you. I went fighting. And that's how I knew God was in it, because I could never do it on my own. And I've told you this before, in your books, I still have mine. I was going to bring it in for my high schoolers and college guys so they can get a laugh out of the picture. But you know how they have most likely to succeed and, you know, all of that? I would have been voted the most likely never to come to Christ. That is the truth. And yet God did a miracle. And I have this confidence that he who has begun a good work in us will bring it through to completion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God the glory, Bill.